All right, so we're going to start right now, and tonight we'll chant Gauranga Balite Hari. Ulaka Sharira.
Yeah.
Ganada Siva Sari Gormatab Vrindavana Ayushana Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama. His divine grace. Abhaya Chatanada Bhattananda Goswami Srila Prabhupada Jai Iskan Founder Acharya Srila Prabhupada Jai Ananta Koti Vaishnav Vrindiki Jai Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur Jai Hrem Sei Kaho Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Dvaita Gadadha Shivasini Gaur, Bhakta, Vrindagichai, Shishi Radhakrishna, Gopkabada, Sayamkund Radhakunda, Giri, Govardhan Kijai, Vrindavan Kijai, Madhuradam Kijai, Jagannathasami Kijai, Yamunamai Kijai, Shimati Glasidevi Kijai, Samaveda Bhakta, Vrindagichai, Gaur, Premananda, Hati Hati Bol, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Guru and Gauranga. Srila Prabhupada ki jai namam Vishnupadaya Krishna Prasthaya Buddhale. Srimati Bhaktivedanta Swaminiti Namani Namaste Saraswati Devi. Gauravadi Pachari Nivashesha Shunyavadi Vasjaja Deja Tarane. Okay. So, Omagana Tumiranda Shag Nanjana Shalakya Chakshurun Miditam Yena Tasmai Shi Gurave Namaha. I offer my respectful obeisances under the lotus feet of my spiritual master, His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, who kindly opened my eyes with a torchlight of knowledge while I was blinded in the darkness of ignorance. So now we will go to the Chaitanya Charitamrita. We're reading about the Rath Yatra ceremony and Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's participation in the Rath Yatra ceremony. Actually, I did say that I was going to talk about the whole process of Rath Yatra. All right. Well, actually, I was going to tell the story about Indradunya Maharaj, not our Indradunya Maharaj in the movement, but the story of I introduced you, Maharaj, and the Jagannath Deity. Actually, I said that I was going to say that, to talk about that today. Okay. I think we'll talk about it. Give me a second to take my notes, pick up my notes on this. It will take 1 second. It's a very interesting story. Give me 1 second. Okay. Oh, I'm in the wrong place to look for my notes. There. Vyatra class. All right. I think we're ready to roll. Oh. Give me 1 second. Here it is. Oh no, that's the wrong file. 1 second. This is saying I know how to refer to it. This is a little embarrassing. It's supposed to be here. Right. Take 1 second. Sorry, everybody. But since I promised to go over this with all of you, I said I have to keep my promise. I can find my leg. One second. Ranga Bali Devi Pulaka Shari Hari Hari Bhutte Nayane Bhavani Arakave Nitai Chandera Koruna Haibe Samsara Vasana Urakabe tu chaibe Vishaya chadiya kabe Shurabe manna Kabe hama hirabo shri. Okay. Just 1 second. Okay, here we go. Got it. Okay. Here we go. Let me just set up the camera. And let's set this here. Okay, so sorry for the delay, and we will start. Okay, so once upon a time, I'll be looking to the side with my notes. Once upon a time, there was a great king, and his name was King Indradunya. Whoops. The light. And his name was King Indradunya, and he's a great devotee of Lord Krishna. So once upon a time, a Brahmin came to his court, and he started to talk about a deity that was named Nila Madhava. A very, very special deity named Nila Madhava. And so the king became very, very curious to see this deity and to worship the deity. So he sent many Brahmins around to look for the deity, and particularly one Brahmin had the name Vidyapati. So Vidyapati went all over looking for this particular deity, and the other Brahmins didn't find the deity. And Vidyapati eventually came to a village of Shabaras. Shabaras means people who keep pigs. And in this district, the head Shabara was named Vishvasu. But Vishvasu wasn't there. So Vishvasu's daughter, who had a very nice spiritual name, Lalita, received him. And so he was alone with Lalita for some time. And what happened is he actually fell in love with Lalita, even though she was from the pig-eating caste and he was a brahmana. And so as soon as his father, Lalita, got back after some time, Lalita and Vidyapati got married. And when he got married to this girl, Lalita, he stayed there, of course, in the house with Vishvasu, his father-in-law, and his wife. And after some time, let me close the windows. It's pretty bright in here. That's better. Okay. All right, the better to see you with. So after some time, he noticed that his father would go out every night, and he'd come back the next day at noon, and his father-in-law would smell like sandalwood paste and camphor and musk. And he inquired from his wife, that's Vidyapati inquired from his wife, why is this happening? And his wife said that actually her father is going out to a secret place to worship the deity known as Sri Nila Madhava. And after that day, Vidyapati became very happy. He was planning, how can I go to see that deity too? He begged his father-in-law, but the father-in-law didn't want to take him to see the deity. So basically, he became so eager that after begging the father-in-law again and again and again, the father-in-law agreed to let him see the deity of Nila Madhava. However, he said that I'll let you see the deity, but you can't see where the deity is, so I'm going to blindfold you and lead you to where the deity is. But this Vidyapati, he was quite intelligent. He understood that if he had a pocket in his kurta, or in his cloth, or a hole in the pocket, or a hole in the cloth, and he had some mustard seeds put there, and the mustard seeds would gradually fall out, then after some time, after it rained, there would actually be a trail of mustard seeds leading to where this deity was. So he did that. So he had his wife, that is Lalita, make a pocket or a tear in his cloth so the mustard seeds could fall out. So when both the father-in-law and Vidyapati reached Nilamadava, the father-in-law took the blindfold off of Vidyapati. And then what happened? Let me just do this story. I mean, I want to make sure I can see if anybody has a chat window. Okay. The father-in-law took the blindfold off of Vidyapati, and Vidyapati became so astounded to see the beauty of this deity, he began to dance in ecstasy. So he stayed near the deity while this Shabara, that's the Vishwasu, went out to collect roots and flowers and everything to worship the deity. So Vidyapati witnessed something that was quite amazing when he was watching the deity. There was a crow nearby, and that crow was on a branch of a tree, and the crow fell into the lake right near the deity. And when the crow fell into the lake near the deity, the crow left his body and came out with a Vaikuntha body, and he went back to home, back to Godhead, the crow, not Vidyapati. So Vidyapati was thinking, boy, this is a quick trip back to home, back to Godhead. So what he did is he got up in the tree and got ready to jump. And he heard this voice, "You have to inform King Indradunya. You cannot leave your body in this particular way." So he climbed down from the tree. And the Shabara returned and took him back to the house. And actually, let's say, oh, he... here's another thing that happened. When the Shabara came back, that Vishvashu came back, he said, that is, the Lord spoke to him and said, "I have for so many days accepted the simple forest flowers and roots offered to me by you. Now I desire the royal service offered to me by my devotee, King Indradunya." So when the Shabara heard this, he got so upset. He said, "I'm going to be cheated for my service to this deity of Nilamadava." And so he tied up his son-in-law, Vidyapati, and kept him in his house. But after some time, because his daughter kept insisting, he freed Vidyapati and allowed him to go. And then Vidyapati immediately went to King Indradunya and informed him of the discovery. And King Indradunya came back in great ecstasy with so many people to bring the deity back. And they followed the mustard plants up the hill, and they didn't see the deity. And the king got so upset that he arrested Vishvasu, the Shabara man. But then a voice in the sky said, "Release him. On top of Nila Hill, you should construct a temple. There, as Daru Brahman," that means Brahman as the absolute truth, "in wooden form, you will see me. You will not be able to see me as Nilamadava." So then the king went back, and in this place called Nilachala, which is Nilakandara Hill, he started to bring stone to construct the temple. And he constructed a temple that was 60 cubits beneath the earth and 120 cubits above the earth. A cubit is usually like from here to here. That's how usually the cubit is measured. And he had the temple decorated with golden ornaments and all sorts of everything to make the temple beautiful. Then he went to Lord Brahma, because he wanted Lord Brahma to do the deity installation and the consecration of the temple. But the problem is that the time that Lord Brahma experiences in Brahmaloka is different from the time that we experience on this earth planet. So even though he was with Lord Brahma for a very short time, then it became ages, not only ages, the temple itself became covered with sand. So people didn't even know about it. So while King Indradunya was away, there was another king named Suradev who took over, and then another king named Galamadava. And Galamadava took credit for the temple, because he uncovered the temple. And this wasn't the truth. Whew. So what happened is, fortunately, when King Indradumna came back, there was this one crow called the famous Bhushandi crow who had witnessed all this. And this Bhushandi crow lives for a very, very long time. The reason he lives for a very, very long time is because he's a great devotee of Lord Ram, and he's always chanting Ram Nam, Lord Ram's name. So therefore, what happened? This crow said that Galamadava did not construct the temple. It was constructed by King Indradumna. And because Galamadava had concealed the truth, Lord Brahma ordered him to reside outside of the grounds of the temple. And then the king actually was allowed to take over again after he came back from Brahmaloka. And then Lord Brahma said, when he was asked to consecrate the temple, he said, "This place is manifested by the Lord's own internal potency, and the Supreme Lord manifests himself. Therefore, it's not in my power to install the deity of the Lord there." He has to come by his own mercy, and his abode, such as this abode, is eternally situated in the material world. Therefore, I shall simply place a flag on top of the temple and give this blessing. Anyone who from a distance sees this flag and bows down, offering his prostrated obeisances, shall easily become liberated. After some time, King Indradumna became discouraged because he hadn't seen Nilamadava, and he didn't see the deity, he didn't see Dharu Brahma, the deity of wood. And so he decided to give up his life by fasting. At that time, the Lord spoke to him in a dream and said, "My dear king, don't be anxious. I shall come floating from the sea in my wooden form at a place called Bunki Muhan." So the Lord, with all of his soldiers, went to this place, and he saw on the shore a huge piece of wood marked with a conch disc, club, and lotus. That is the four symbols of Lord Vishnu. And even though he engaged all of his men and elephants and horses to try to move the deity, or trying to move the piece of wood, he couldn't do it. But that night in a dream, the Lord appeared to him and said to the king, "Bring my previous servant, Vishvasu," that means the Shabara guy, who was the father of Lalita, everybody remembers him, "and who used to serve me, this person used to serve me as Nilamadava, and place a golden chariot in front of me, and you will be able to move the deity." So then he brought the Shabara Vishvasu and put him on one side of Dharu Brahman, and the other side he put the Brahman Vidyapati, who was married to Lalita. And he brought a golden chariot, and he started kirtan, chanting the holy names of the Supreme Lord. Then the king was able to take the deity and put him on the chariot and take him to the temple at that time. Then Lord Brahma began a sacrifice and established the deity of Lord Nrsingadeva on a raised platform, and said that the place where the present temple stands is the place where the sacrifice for Lord Nrsingadeva was performed. And Nrsingadeva deity, now standing at the western side of the temple, the Mukti Mandapa, is that original Nrsingadeva deity. Wow, I've actually gone to see that deity. So, in order to carve the deity, King Indradumna called for all the expert sculptors in the kingdom. And so they came and tried to sculpt the deity and broke all their implements. They just broke as soon as they touched the deity. Chisels broke and everything came to pieces. Finally, the Supreme Lord, there's two versions of the story. One is Vishvakarma came, that is the architect of the demigods. Another story is that the Supreme Lord himself came. But in any case, either the Supreme Lord came or the Supreme Lord's pure devotee architect came, whose name was Ananta Maharana. And that's according to the Puranas. And in the Narada Purana, it says that it was Vishvakarma. Anyway, so he said, "I will carve the deity, but I have to be left alone for 21 days. If you interfere with my carving, then, I'm leaving immediately. So the king actually heard behind the closed doors, chip, 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 as the deity was being carved. But then after 14 days, he didn't hear anything, and he was wondering, what should I do? So the king thought, you know, I'm not going to go in there and disturb, because he said, I must not disturb him. And the minister said, don't disturb him. But the king's wife basically nagged the king. Sometimes it's mentioned that the king's wife was named Gundicha, which is what the Gundicha temple is named after. So anyway, so the king actually went in at his wife's pushing, and he opened up the doors, and the sculptor was not there. And he saw these half-finished deities. Oh my God. And he felt completely guilty about this, that he had offended the Lord by not allowing the sculptor to finish. So he lay down on a bed of kusha grass, began to fast, and to kill himself, you know, basically to fast till death. When half the night was over, of course, didn't fast for very long. You'll die after half a night. So Lord Jagannath appeared to the king in his dreams, and he said, I'm eternally situated here. I have no material hands or feet, but it is my pastimes to appear in this particular form. So you should decorate with me and serve me in this particular form. And if you like, you can put extra arms and hands on me from time to time. And so these are the forms of the deities of Jagannath, Baladev, and Subhadra. Now one may ask why the Lord chose those particular forms to be worshipped in. And that's also a very interesting story, which I'll tell right now. That once upon a time, Krishna was in Dwarka. This was after he left Vrindavan, after he left Mathura, killed so many demons. So he was in Dwarka. And his wives were very curious as to what pastimes he executed in Vrindavan. They did not want to ask Krishna directly because they thought this would agitate his mind. So instead, they asked Rohini, the mother of Balaram, because Rohini, who was the wife, one of the wives, of Vasudev, lived in Vrindavan at that particular time. And she was there, of course, with Yashoda Mai, and everybody knows that story. So anyway, so she knew about the pastimes. So they said, please tell us about the pastimes. She said, I will tell you about the pastimes of Krishna in Vrindavan as long as you make sure that nobody else hears about these pastimes, because if Krishna hears, he's going to want to go back to Vrindavan. There's going to be so many emotional problems. Balaram hears, there's going to be a problem. The Subhadra hears, there's going to be a problem. So please make sure no one hears. So they went into a room in a secluded place and posted Subhadra, Krishna's sister, as the guard on that room at the door. And so Subhadra was standing there, and they told Subhadra, make sure no one comes in and you don't listen either. So Subhadra naturally was curious, because when you're told not to do something, you want to do that very same thing. So she put her ear to the door, and as she was listening to Krishna's pastimes being described by Rohini, she became so ecstatic that her eyes opened wide and the arms shrunk into her body. Because Subhadra, Balaram, Krishna, they are spiritual entities who are non-different from their bodies. Krishna is not different from his body. There's no duality there. So when there's a particular mood, a particular emotion, Krishna can manifest it in any way. He can appear as a tortoise. He can appear as a half man, half lion. He can appear as a fish. And it's the same transcendental body, just in a different mood. How is that? That is a chintya. It's inconceivable for us who have material bodies. So her arm shrunk up and eyes got big, and that's the Subhadra deity And then when Balaram walked by, he saw the Sabhaja look like that. He put his ear to the door and he heard the same thing, and he manifested the Balaram deity. And when Krishna walked by, guess what? Similar things happened. Him and his eyes were wide, and Balaram's eyes were wide. And so the deities of Jagannath, Baladev, and Subhadra are manifestations. They are Krishna, Balaram, and Subhadra. But Krishna in those forms is manifesting. What is he manifesting? He's manifesting his ecstatic mood of separation from Vrindavan. And so that's why Lord Jagannath looks like that. So let's get back to the story. So Lord Jagannath appeared and he said to the king, you can worship me, etc., etc., etc. The king prayed to Lord Jagannath. Here are his prayers after he installed Lord Jagannath and put him on the altar. My Lord, grant that those who appear in the family of the sculptor who manifested your form may age after age assist in constructing the three carts. Lord Jagannath then said, that shall be. And Lord Jagannath said to the king, that the descendants of Vishvasu, that's the Shabara, or pig-eating caste guy, who used to serve me as Nilamadava, should generation after generation serve me. They may be called the Dayatas. Remember we talked about yesterday how the Dayatas, the merciful personalities, or those who got mercy, were able to carry Lord Jagannath from the temple all the way to the cart, and bouncing Lord Jagannath, Baladev, Subhadra on cotton pads, which were called chulis. So the descendants of Vidyapati, born from his Brahmin wife, because Vidyapati, the Brahmin, also had a Brahmin wife, as well as the Shabara wife, Lalita, the Brahmin wife should perform the deity worship for me, and the descendants born from Lalita, his Shabara wife, or Shabari wife, should cook Lord Jagannath's food. They shall be known as Suryaras. And then King Indrajunya said, I'm asking for some favors. He says, my lord, kindly, King Indrajunya said, my lord, kindly grant one favor to me. Let the doors to your temple be closed for only 3 hours a day. The rest of the time, let the doors be open so that all the residents of the universe may have access to see you. Further, let it be that all day long your eating may go on and your lotus fingers thus never become dry. How we would all like that, to be able to eat all day long, but unfortunately we have material bodies and we would get extremely sick and probably die. So Lord Jagannath said, yes, I grant that benediction. And Lord Jagannath said to the king, for yourself, what sort of benediction do you want? And the king asked Lord Jagannath for some amazing benediction. But who can understand why he asked for it? He said, make sure that I don't have any descendants or children. Now, that's a heavy thing for a king to ask for. Because generally, if you read the Vedic literatures, you hear the king's been in anxiety because there's no children to take over after the king passes away. And so the king's motivation, King Indrajuda's motivation at this particular point, was that so no one would claim the temple as his personal or private property. And what we've seen in other cases, in other temples, in India at least, that when you have a particular individual in charge of a temple and he has children, sometimes the children claim the temple as their property. And sometimes they even sell the deity's properties in order to maintain their families. Because that's happened with some of the Vrindavan temples. So the king, that is King Indrajunya, did not want that to happen. So Lord Jagannath said, that's it, you will not have any children. And the king was very happy that he wasn't going to have any children because those children would claim Lord Jagannath's temple as theirs. Whereas Lord Jagannath's temple doesn't belong to anyone except for Lord Jagannath. So, and that's how Lord Jagannath, Balaram, and Subhadra appeared in this material world And this is the story from the Narada Pancharatra. And there's one final verse I want to quote from the Narada Pancharatra. The Narada Purana. Here's the Sanskrit. Pratimam tatra tam drishtva swayam devena niramitam adayashena vayanti bhavanam me tuto nadaha. The Supreme Lord Narayan tells Lakshmi Devi, in that great abode known as Purushottama Kshetra, that's Jagannathpuri, which is rarely achieved among all the three worlds, the Keshava deity, which was fashioned by the Supreme Lord himself, is situated. If men simply see that deity, they are easily able to come to my abode. In other words, they're very easily able to go back to home, back to Godhead. And so that's the story of Lord Jagannath, and I said I would tell you all today, and I did. So now let's continue with the Chaitanya Charitamrita. We have roughly 8 minutes to read from the Chaitanya Charitamrita, but it was interesting to recount the story of the appearance of Lord Jagannath. So, Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya, Jaya Nityananda, Jaya Dvaita Chandra, Jaya Gaur Bhakta Vrinda, Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya, Jaya Nityananda, Jaya Dvaita Chandra, Jaya Gaur Bhakta Vrinda, Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya, Jaya Nityananda, Jaya Dvaita Chandra, Jaya Gaur Bhakta Vrinda. So we're on text 29 in the Majjhalila, chapter 13. So, Tabe Mahaprabhu Sabalana Bhakta Ganha Swahaste Paraila Sabe Malya Chandana. As the car stood still, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gathered all of his devotees and with his own hand decorated them with flower garlands and sandalwood pulp. Hold on a second. Paramananda Puriyara Bharati Brahmananda Sihaste Chandana Pana Badilahananda. Paramananda Puri and Brahmananda Bharati were both personally given garlands and sandalwood pulp from the very hands of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. This increased their transcendental pleasure. Advaita Charyara Prabhu Nityananda Sihasta Swarse Dunhara Ahilananda. Similarly, when Advaitacharya and Nityananda Prabhu felt the touch of the transcendental hand of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they were very pleased. Kirtaniya Gane Dila Malya Chandana Sarupa Srivasayan Mukya Dvijana. The Lord also gave garlands and sandalwood pulp to the performers of Sankirtan. The two chief performers were Swarup Damodar and Srivas Thakur. Chari Sampradaya Haila Chabishagayana Dwi Dwi Mardankika Hailasta Jana. There were altogether four parties of kirtan performers comprising 24 chanters. In each party there were also two mridanga players, making an additional 8 persons. Tabi Mahaprabhu Mane Vichara Kariya Chari Sampradaya Dila Gayana Vantiya. When the four parties were formed, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, after some consideration, divided the chanters. Nityananda Dvaita Haridasa Vakreshwara Chari Jane Adya Dila Nritya Kari Bare. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ordered Nityananda Prabhu, Advaita Acharya, Haridasa Thakura, Vakeshwara Pandit, and Vakeshwara Pandit to dance in each of the four respective parties. Pratama Sampravadaya Kaila Swarupa Pradana Ara Pancha Jana Dila Tanura Pali Gana. Swarup Damodar was chosen as the leader of the first party and was given 5 assistants to respond to his chanting. Damodara Narayana Datta Govinda Raghava Pandita Hara Sri Govinda Nandana. The 5 who responded to the singing of Swarup Damodar were Damodar Pandit Narayana, Govinda Datta, Raghava Pandit, and Sri Govinda Ananda. Advaitare Nritya Karivare Agyadila Srivasa Pradana Hara Sampradaya Kaila. Advaitacharya Prabhu was ordered to dance in the first group. The Lord then formed another group with Srivas Thakur as the chief man. In the first group, Damodar Swarupa was appointed chief singer, and the responding singers were Damodar Pandit, Narayana Govinda Dat, Raghava Pandit, and Govinda Nanda. Sri Advaitacharya was appointed as a dancer. The next group was formed, and the chief singer was Srivasa Thakura. Gangadasa Haridasa Sriman Subananda Sri Ramana Sri Rama Pandita Khan Natche Nichananda. The five singers who responded to the singing of Srivasa Thakura were Gangadasa Haridas, Sriman Subananda, and Sri Rama Pandit. Sri Nichananda Prabhu was appointed as a dancer. Vasudeva Gopinatha Murari Ahangaya Mukunda Pradana Kaila Hara Sampradaya. Another group was formed consisting of Vasudeva Gopinatha Murari. All these were responsive singers, and Mukunda was the chief singer. Sri Kanta Vallabhasena Radvijana Haridasa Thakura Tahan Karena Nartana. Another two persons, Srikanta and Vallabhasena, joined as responsive singers. In this verse, the senior Haridas Thakura was the dancer. In the third group, Mukunda was appointed as the chief singer. This party was composed of Vasudeva Gopinath Murari, Srikanta, and Vallabhasena. The senior Haridas Thakura was the dancer. Govinda Gosha Pradana Kaila Arasampradaya Haridasa Vishnudasa Raghava Yahangaya. The Lord formed another group, appointing Govinda Ghosh as leader. In this group, the younger Haridas, Vishnudas, and Raghava were the responding singers. Madhava Vasudeva Gosha Dwi Sahodara Nrityakarena Tahan Pandita Varkeshvara. The two brothers named Madhava Ghosh and Vasudeva Ghosh also joined this group as responsive singers. Varkeshvara Pandit was the dancer. Kulina Grame Raika Kirtaniya Samaja Tahan Richa Karena Ramananda Sacharaja. There was a Sankirtan party from the village known as Kulina Gram, and Ramananda and Sacharaja were appointed the dancers in this group. Shantipureo Racharyera Eka Sampradaya Achutananda Nachitaha Hara Sabagaya. There was another party that came from Shantipura and was formed by Advaitacharya. Achutananda was the dancer, and the rest of the men were singers. Achutananda was the son of Advaitacharya. Kandera Sampradaya Karaye Anyatra Kirtana Narahari Nachitan Sri Raghunanjana. Another party was formed by the people of Kanda. These people were singing in a different place. In that group, Narahari Prabhu and Raghunandana were dancing. Jagannath era age chari sampradaya gaiha dwi pache eka sampradaya. Four parties chanted and danced in front of Lord Jagannath, and on either side was another party, yet another was at the rear. Wow. Sata Sampradaya Bhaje Chota Madala Yara Dwani Shuni Vaishnava Haila Pagala. There were altogether seven parties of Sankirtan, and in each party two men were beating drums, thus 14 drums were being played at once. The sound was tumultuous, and all the devotees became mad. Vaishnava Ramega Gathaya Haila Badala Kirtananande Sabak Varshe Netra Netra, sorry, Netra Jala. All the Vaishnavas came together like an assembly of clouds as the devotees chanted the holy names in great ecstasy. Tears fell from their eyes like rain. Tri Bhuvanabari Ute Kirtanera Dwani Anya Vajya Dira Dwani Kichwi Na Shuni. When the Sankirtan resounded, it filled the three worlds. Indeed, no one could hear any sounds or musical instruments other than the Sankirtana. Joy. Satatani Bule Prabhu Hari Hari Vali Jaya Jagannatha Valena Hasta Yuga Tule. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wandered through all the seven groups, chanting the holy name, Hari, Hari. Raising his arms, he shouted, all glories to Lord Jagannath. And I think we will end there, and we will take some questions. We went from 29 to 51. Okay, we'll stop sharing, and okay, there's one question. In which yuga did the pastimes of King Indradyumna take place? Was it after Dwarpa Yuga? Pandas and Puris say Lord Jagannatha is Kali Yuga avatar. Thank you, Guru Dev. I don't know. That's a good question. That is a good question, something you'll have to look up. I wouldn't take the Pandas and Jagannath Puri naturally as authorities. Actually, the Kali Yuga avatar is not Lord Jagannath. The Kali Yuga avatar is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He's called the Channa avatar. Channa means hidden. And so it's golden because it's described in the Vedic literature as that Krishnavarnam, that's actually in the Bhagavatam, sorry. Krishnavarnam, Jrisa Krishnam, Sango Panga, Sri Parshanam, Yagyai, He Sankirtana, Prayar, Yajantihi, Sumedasa. That in this Kali Yuga, the Lord appears not in the blackish form, but in a golden form, and he's always chanting the Lord's holy names. And one who has sufficient brain substance will worship the Lord in this particular way. And there's so many quotes like that that indicate that in Kali Yuga, the Yuga avatar, the Channa avatar, the hidden avatar, is Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So Lord Jagannath is not the Yuga avatar. Now, there are many avatars who are not the Yuga avatars, because avatar, the word avatar, means to descend or to cross down. So just like Srila Prabhupada, he is the Shaktavesh avatar. So Lord Jagannath is definitely an avatar because he's crossing down from the spiritual world to be with us. So, but he's not specifically the Yuga avatar. Definitely not the Yuga avatar. Okay, here's another question. What is the prescribed way to view Jagannath, Baladev, and Subhadra, for instance? For Krishna, you start from the feet. Who should you see first, and what should you meditate on when you see them? Actually, we approach Lord Balaram first. Why do we approach Lord Balaram first? And also, in the traditional Rath Yatra ceremony, and perhaps not the way they do in an ISKCON, Lord Balaram is in the first cart. Sometimes in ISKCON I've seen them put Lord Jagannath in the first cart. But actually, Lord Balaram is in the first cart. And my god brother, Gaur Govinda Maharaj, tells a story to illustrate why Lord Balaram is in the first cart. And it has a lot to do with the story about Krishna hearing about his pastimes in Vrindavan. So Balaram, he goes first to protect Subhadra, to Vrindavan, and Krishna follows behind anyway. So Balaram is first, and then we approach Balaram first through his lotus feet, through the spiritual master, who is the representative of Balaram, Nayamatma, Bala Inena Lopwa. And by the mercy of Balaram, one can actually become free of material desires. And then you can actually approach Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So this is the way to approach Lord Jagannath. First, Lord Nityananda, who is Balaram, Balaram Hoilenitai, non-different than Balaram. And then we can approach Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to come to the ecstatic platform. And then we can approach the six Goswamis of Vrindavan to understand the conjugal love of Radha and Krishna, and then we can be situated in the spiritual platform, and yoga maya, that is Subhadra, the internal potency of the Lord, and we will understand Radha and Krishna. Anyway, so Krishna Rai Prabhu is just cutting the nim tree for Lord Jagannath deities at my home. So, that's very interesting. Krishna Rai has made many Jagannath deities. This is Fiji, actually, in reference to Fiji. So he's actually quite an expert sculptor. So very, very nice. In Fiji, they have many, many neem trees. And the neem tree is famous because a great personality, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, appeared under the neem tree. Therefore, he is named Nimai. That was his name his mother gave him, not Chaitanya. Chaitanya was when he was taking sannyas. That's his sannyas name. But it was Nimai Pandit. Okay, so who else has a question they'd like to ask? You can either unmute yourselves or raise your hand or write something in the chat window. Anybody else want to write something? Is Lord Jagannath always carved from neem? I don't know. That's not a question I can answer. But actually, they find a very special tree when they're carving the deity of Lord Jagannath. And I don't know what type of tree that is. You'll have to ask one of the pundits about things like that. But at least in Fiji, they carve Lord Jagannath from neem. The reason they carve him from neem is because the insects don't touch neem wood generally. Because neem wood, and actually the neem leaf, is antiseptic and aseptic, and it's used as a blood purifier too. So the neem tree, and it actually keeps away ghosts. So you can just wave a neem leaf at a ghost and he'll go away. So, any other questions about Lord Jagannath? Any other questions about this Rath Yatra festival? And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? Madhava, you have a question.
Hare Krishna, Dandavat, Pranam, Gurudev. So, not with Rath Yatra, but chanting kirtan and all that. So, it's general question I wanted to ask yesterday, but there was not enough time. So, if it is okay, the question is, why in several processes of devotional service, why Sravanam is recommended first? Why is it so?
Okay, that's a good question. The reason Sravanam is recommended first is because without hearing, you won't know how to do anything else. Like, how will you know, all right, Sravanam, without Sravanam, how are you going to do Kirtanam? What are you going to chant without hearing about it first, right? Vishnu Smaranam. Without hearing about Lord Vishnu or hearing about Krishna, how are you going to remember? Without hearing about worship, how will you know how to do Archanam? Without hearing, how will you know how to pray? Without hearing, how, you know, just going through some of the nine processes of devotional service, without hearing, how will you know how to surrender? Just like you say, I surrender to you, but actually I'm not going to hear from you. So hearing, all the other processes are contingent upon hearing from hearing. Yeah, because unless you hear, you won't know how to do anything. So that's why hearing comes first. And in Kali Yuga, the process of self-realization is chanting, but in order to chant, you have to hear. In order to get the holy name, you have to receive it in disciplic succession, which means hearing. In order to get the Bhakti Lata Bij, to perform devotional service, you have to hear Brahmanda Brahmate Kanda Bhagavan Jeev Guru Krishna Prasadi Vai Bhakti Lata Bij. You actually have to receive the Bhakti Lata Bij by hearing from the spiritual master. And Lord Kapila Dev says, what is it? Satambra Sangam Mama Virya Sambhado Bhavanti Ritkarna Risayana Kata That devotional service comes from hearing, and the sound vibration comes and enters your heart from your ear, and in this way you're gradually progress through the different processes of devotional service, from shraddha, initial faith, taste, ratir, and ultimately bhakti, or love. So I would say that everything is contingent upon hearing. In one way or the other. I mean, how would you know how to do anything? I mean, you could say reading, you can read. But reading is also a subtle form of hearing. But unless you receive information, how can you give information? How can you remember? Unless you receive information, you won't even know anything about Krishna. How can you remember Krishna? So, does that make sense?
Yes, Maharaj. Thank you, Maharaj.
That's why Shravanam is the first of the nine processes of devotional service. Okay. Who else has a question?
Hare Krishna, Maharaj. My name is Pooja.
Pooja, good to see you.
Yeah, I have been listening for your classes for the last 3-4 days. And I have one question to ask. Why in Jagannath Puri, the ISKCON devotees and Westerners, and especially Indians from other states are not allowed to enter the temple?
That's a good question, because there's actually no answer to that other than that's the ritual. That's the culture that they discriminate. It's something like, okay, let me be blunt about it. It's like racism. Just like many years ago in the United States, and still is to a certain extent, there was a lot of racism. When I was young, they wouldn't allow, if you were to go to a public place, they wouldn't allow people of a different color to use the same bathrooms. That's how bad it was. So that's definitely a Maya aspect, a nonsense, a demoniac aspect of culture. It's not that every aspect of culture is good. There's some really bad aspects of culture. There's bad culture, demoniac culture, like that. And so this discrimination against people who have different types of bodies, or even people who leave India and go to the West and then later come back, is actually a nasty aspect of culture, because you're not respecting someone's internal devotion or internal life or actual spiritual situation. So I can't justify what they do and what they did around the time of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. It's actually a very bad thing. Prabhupada didn't like it. He actually asked the pandas in Jagannath Puri to let the Westerners in to see the deities, and they refused. Prabhupada gave some very heavy lectures saying that Lord Jagannath is Jagannath. He's not Purinath. In other words, he's the Lord of the universe, which is Jagat. He's not simply the Lord of Jagannath Puri. But they just didn't listen, and the Supreme Court in India ordered that everyone should be able to see Lord Jagannath. But these pandas just sticking to their racism, basically. Not even racism, it's just sectarian casteism. Refused to let the Western people in to see the deities. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did not want to create a social problem. And so he didn't push other devotees into the temple, like Haridas Thakur and others. Although he could have done that, but that would have caused a disruption in the social scene. And Krishna in the Gita says that one should not disturb the minds of those who are materially attached, but to encourage them to work in a spirit of devotion. So sometimes it's appropriate to create a social revolution, and sometimes it's not. One has to judge the appropriate times to do that. So I wouldn't personally push myself to go into the temple, because I can worship deities of Lord Jagannath outside of the temple. But as far as the reason they do it, it's all nonsense. I can't justify nonsense. Just like I can't justify racism, because it's all nonsense, and I can't justify sexism. But you find a lot of this in the world. You know, people discriminated against people because of their gender, people discriminate because of their nationality, because of their religion. And it's all nonsense. It's all bodily consciousness. It's mundane and very displeasing to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So thank you for your question. And it's a good question. Thank you for attending the class. So there's two other questions here. Why do the deities change every 12 years? That's the system. Because when you're dealing with the wood deities in such a climate, it's necessary to have some change. The original deities are not there. I don't know that. Because what they do with the other deities, they put them, as they change the deities every 12 years, they actually put the other deities in the ocean. So I don't know if they kept the original deities that were there from the time of Indradunya Maharaj or not. You'd have to research that. But I know nowadays the system is that they actually change the deity every 12 years. And, you know, there's a reason for that. So, if no one else has any questions, we're going to end now. And we'll see everybody tomorrow, same time, same station. Thank you very much for joining us. And may you have a nice Radhastami that's coming up Monday here in the United States and wherever you are coming up within the next two, three days. Okay, all glories to His Divine Grace, Śrīla Prabhupāda, Śrīla Prabhupāda ki jai.